The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sovereign Minds.
Hurrah. What happened?
Yeah.
You kind of like, ooh.
I don't know. I felt like the pulse. You know, I mean, we're on the pulse of the information.
Or we're well, on the there's pulse. So much.
I don't know. The pulse of something. Today is Sunday, June 12th, 2022. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm a graduate of the University of Hard Knocks with a degree in results. You can catch our podcasts at mountaintopmedia.com on Mondays. They come out usually twice a week. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting, and I would go through all that other stuff, but you know.
Whatever. Oh, yeah. See how you are? Just a blah, 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 blah. Good morning, everyone. Yeah. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. We've got rain out there. Isn't that
awesome?
It's
true. It's true. And also,
Until we get to talking, then it won't be so beautiful anymore.
We can't forget our trusted soundboard operator and all-around great guy, Truvez.
Hey, morning, everybody.
Yeah,
hey.
We're a little subdued.
I can hardly hear you.
We're a little subdued today.
There?
I think we're in the trenches after the first wave, little bit, you know, and. Hey, you know, we also have in the studio with us a special guest. We've got Arthur Gorman, which I got correct that time, and Katie.
Hey.
Gorman. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, guys. I'm so glad you guys could come in.
Absolutely. So this last week was the elections. I think everybody is a little shell-shocked over what actually happened. Not certain that I agree with the way it happened, how it happened, or with the results at this point. And there's a lot of anomalies that I have to question. And, of course, we're just supposed to trust everything and go along with the program because our officials said so.
That's right.
Right out the gate. You know, that's what got me, kind of.
I just have one question.
The numbers and everything, and the next day on the news, it was like, this is it. These are the numbers.
Well, you know what got me is, number one, they come out with this reporting system that is like a false reporting system. 100% of the precincts have reported, and there's only 40,000 left votes that we haven't counted. So it sounds like they won already, even though they haven't even counted the votes, or very few of them.
Well, that's kind of the way the media put it out there, too, was, you know, this is, you know, these are the results, everything's in, and... Yeah, everybody lost except the people that were already there.
Right. I was really hoping for a Joe Biden surprise, you know, coming back at the end and getting more votes and climbing to the top day after day.
You know, the one anomaly that I have with is, how does Kathy Allen get so many more votes than everybody else in the county? That just makes no sense to me as far as the numbers. I mean, you look at every other race, you know, 10, 12% spread or whatever. She's got a lot more. It's like what's the actual percentage of spread on this?
Yeah, Shasta County voted for a Democrat to run their elections right now, when many Republicans do not trust what's happening in our elections.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense to you? To me.
So Bob Holsinger got just a little under 30%, and she got 71%. How does that reconcile? In my mind, I don't understand how that could be possible, quite frankly, in this county.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't make sense because they say that Shasta County is very conservative, but when you look and you do your homework and you see what party affiliation they follow, you would think that you would vote for a conservative over a liberal.
You would think.
And you'd hope, hopefully, at least it would be like 50-50. Maybe you think Bob
or
has...
Or closer.
Yeah.
Like, well, I would
a little
think
closer,
that it would
40,
mirror...
60.
I would think it would mirror some of the other races.
Right.
Or very close to that, because if you look at some of the other races, you know, they were a lot closer. They're 10% spreads. I mean, you know, Green was a little more than that, because that was to be expected because of the incumbent Michael Johnson, you know, had a lot of clout. I seen a lot of people that were conservatives that would vote for him and so forth. Mm-hmm. So that was a conservative race.
Right.
But Kathy Allen, or Darling Allen, is not a conservative.
Right.
Not even close. She's a registered Democrat.
How does that work? It doesn't work in my mind. So,
well, to the numbers, what they're showing here, what kind of bothers me is the totals don't make sense. So if you look with what they got posted, some of them got like 33,800, right?
Right.
Well, the other ones didn't get that many.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if everybody got a ballot and everybody voted... I mean, I'm sure there's a little, you know, some people aren't going to vote for every office.
Right, and when watching the adjudication process, I really learned a lot, but there was a lot of contests where people left blank, or they would
not vote.
Vote just on the line where it said the write-in candidate, but then not write in a candidate. So then during the adjudication process, they'd have to go back in there and delete that and say that person wasn't allowed, basically.
Oh, okay.
And that happened
that
several thousand times.
Yeah,
wow.
I was watching it a lot.
Wow,
that's
kind of interesting.
I guess all the votes still aren't even counted yet, are
there's
they?
There's about 15,000 or more that still need to be counted Monday and Tuesday.
Of course.
And they're also up there in the office with a no steel seal sticker on the outside of the door. There's live ballots on the table. There's a lot of questionable things going on up there.
Well, okay, so let's go back to the recall for a second. Now, this is one isolated district on Modi. Obviously, there was not a lot of love for Modi in his own district at that point. Otherwise, the recall wouldn't have been successful. But the ballots that came in on the mail were almost overwhelmingly for the recall.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, these ballots that are coming in are almost overwhelmingly, it seems like what I'm seeing, for the incumbents.
Correct.
That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it is really interesting. You know, when you look back at the 2018 primary, so it wasn't a presidential race. I don't know if there was something controversial that we're voting for as far as a law or something else,
right,
or gas tax. But the turnout was a little less than 50%. In some places it was up to 54%, depending on where you're at. But the highest 54, lowest was like 46. And 32,000 people voted by mail in the 2018 because California was vote by mail first, you know,
right,
anybody else was doing it. And they only had 10,000 people that voted in person in 2018. So we are about to have a lower turnout than 2018, which this election percentage wise. So in 2018, we only had 99,000 registered voters. And now in 2022, we have 112,000 registered voters, yet with everybody, multiple candidates in the race, a bigger election, at least locally, we have a smaller turnout than we did 2 years ago when we had people running unopposed.
So here's the way I see it. Okay, I either think we got problems no matter how you slice the pie here, there's a problem. Either we didn't get the voter turnout on the conservative side that we should have, okay, which I find a little bit hard to believe, but maybe not. Or we didn't get the information out there, and these people weren't exposed as much as they should have. Or there's something else going on that's nefarious, and I'm leaning towards all the above. I don't know.
You got to wonder like we were talking earlier about, like, security or protocol or whatever, why certain things were not put in place for some election like this that was very important.
Right.
This wasn't just, you know, the average election, so to speak. We had six offices that were up right here.
Correct.
And they weren't putting any extra protocol or getting along with the people out there to observe. I mean, there was a lot of different things. Kathy Darling didn't excuse herself or recuse herself from the whole process, which is a little, you know.
Well, here's what I want to say, and then we'll move on through this a little more, is that I don't like the feeling that I have that I don't trust the election anymore.
Right.
I don't like the fact that I don't feel like I can rely on their numbers anymore. And if you haven't watched 2,000 Mules out there, watch it. I don't care whether you're right, left, Democrat, up, down, sideways. If you can watch that movie and see the evidence that was presented on the 2020 election and show that there wasn't a massive amount of cheating going on, it's so obviously prevalent. And then you have to ask yourself a bigger question. Why is the big mainstream media not reporting that? If that's true, then why is there a concerted effort to squelch that? We know that what's on there is absolutely, you know, inadmissible in court type evidence. There's videos, there's geo-tracking. It's massive. And now we're supposed to trust all the elections from now on and not say anything.
Right. And it's all about playing the game. In California, vote harvesting is legal. I can go to you can sign your ballot, you can put it in the envelope, and then I am, of course, then the mule, and I sign my name on it, we drop it off in the thing. I can do that hundreds of thousands of times if I can get to that many people. So,
well, and Kathy Darling Allen, or Allen Darling, was proud of the fact that we got all these ballot boxes in Dominion. Go ahead.
We didn't even, while you were talking, you know, I was thinking that for the listeners that we should really explain kind of why there's such a correlation between 2,000 Mules and what we have going on here. Because if you look at the election day results, for instance, my candidate, Brian Caples, he received 62.6% of the votes on election day.
In-person voting.
Of in-person voting. That means that the voters went in and they put their ballot through the machine themselves. So that is a huge discrepancy between what happened between what they call the mail-in ballots, which are the ones from the ballot drop boxes, and the ones that were actually mailed in.
These are all categories.
Because not only did once those were put into the mix, they dropped his percentage to 40%. And some change. So that gives you an idea right there of what did the incumbent get, 70% of those votes? And how is there such a flip-flop between those two? So when you start thinking about the correlation there between those ballot drop boxes having such a difference between that day, then you start thinking about 2,000 Mules and you kind of start scratching your head and going, wait a minute here.
Right. Is there any way that we can check our votes ourselves by going to the website?
No. No, the only time that your vote is actually tracked and they tell you whether your signature matched or didn't match is when it's still in the envelope. So
once it leaves the envelope.
And you have to actually be registered as a mail-in absentee ballot person like Arthur is.
Yeah, so if you're
everybody gets that.
If you're registered as an absentee ballot guy, then or gal, then you'll get a text and an email and says, "Oh, your ballot was cast." It doesn't say who you vote for. It just means they took your ballot out of that mm-hmm. envelope and they have an automatic thing that just emails and texts you and says, "Oh, well, we got your ballot."
So I voted in person. I went in, I wrote surrendered on my ballot and then ran the one they gave me through the machine.
Right.
But I assumed that there was a way that I could check on how I voted.
No, and I asked Kathy about that because I said, you know, everybody would like a receipt. Everybody I talked to said they, mm-hmm. you know, they like some verification that they did vote and these are the people they voted for. And she said, well, in history, and I haven't checked it yet, but it was what she said is back in history, some people that were not above board, like your employer, might ask for your receipt of who you voted for and then perhaps, you know, he might not have a job if that was the case.
But didn't you used to get a
Well, yeah, but that sounds like crap because would you give it to your employer? Only you should
be
able to get it.
Exactly. We used to get like a receipt thing, right? But we don't get that anymore. You used to get this little thing that had like marks on it showing that you voted. Why couldn't you match your ballot?
I don't see why, with the technology that we have today, that it would be even a difficult task.
Right. And employee rights, you know.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is, if why can't they track how I voted? I mean, we talk about transparency. As soon as we vote, then nobody knows who we voted for.
Well, it's kind of interesting because if you go to all of those political companies that are in charge of
keeping track.
So if you go, go to these guys that are data collectors for politics, they will tell you what household voted what way in what election. So they can say, oh, at the Gorman's house, they're strong Republicans. They've voted conservatively for the last X amount of elections. And how do they have that information when obviously
it's a good question.
You shouldn't be able to track that information?
Yeah.
They already know that I'm a strong Republican. How do they have that information? Because it's supposed to be a secret who I voted for. You don't know who. I mean, I could be a full-fledged Democrat, but you'd never know. Right?
Right. There's no way to know supposedly exactly how you voted.
They're tracking us at all times on our emails. Well,
I'm pulling some different stuff up here as we go, but here's what I have on it. Just a couple of quick headlines, okay, or, you know, articles. So this is on June 10th. State political figure admits to stuffing ballots for Democrats. Board of Elections was in on it. Now, this is voter fraud, corrosive conspiratorial myth that conservatives need to stop talking about, except, of course, when it happens. But conservatives should still shut up about it. Now, this is the case of Michael Ozzie Myers showed up news feeds this week. Myers, 79, is a former Democratic U.S. representative from Philadelphia who left office in disgrace back in 1980 in his role with the Abscam scandal. He has served time for getting caught in video taking bribes and so on and so forth. On Monday, he pleaded guilty to ballot stuffing schemes that certain Pennsylvania Democratic candidates, he pleaded guilty that benefited certain Democratic candidates between 2014 and 2018, and the local Board of Elections was on it. So that was an article I read Monday. All right.
Before I go to the next one, that's one of my questions. How come so many ballots are still coming in from Sacramento?
Right,
have we ever heard of that? I mean, thousands. We're not talking just a few hundred. We're talking thousands of ballots are still coming through the mail from Sacramento.
I just have to have it post-dated on the 7th.
Right.
And then you get to count it till what, the 14th or the 18th?
I believe
or something?
It's the 14th.
Now, if they can use this to stay in power, do we trust these political operatives to not use stuff like this? I don't.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't trust them.
I don't trust them at all now.
Especially when they won't do what's very simple measures to make sure that we have our ballots.
And I want to get to that because we want to talk about what you're referring to as far as the stickers and the seals. So here's another one. Here's World Tribune, and this is on June 8th. Dominion voting machines are the center of a new controversy in 2022 primary elections in Georgia's Fulton and DeKalb counties, according to alternative media sources. The Fulton County Board of Register and Elections had held an emergency meeting on June 5th to recertify the results of the May 24 primary. So when you get into all this, what happened was, one lady lost. It was a three-way runoff on a seat. The one lady lost, and she said, "Okay." And then she checked her district, and there were zero votes for herself in her district. Well, wait a minute. She lives in that district. She didn't vote for herself. So she demanded a recount based on that anomaly, going, what the hell's going on here?
Exactly.
It turned out there was 2,800 votes that should have been for her that put her back in the contention in the runoff and got rid of one of the other persons. And this is Dominion voting machines that changed the numbers. Right. Do we have Dominion voting machines in our county?
We do. We lease them.
Do we trust them?
Absolutely not.
No.
There you go. So let's go back to this.
Well, and also you've got to trust the people that are running the machines and transporting the data. Just saying.
I was on. They were talking about the redistricting committee earlier. I was on the redistricting committee. I helped draw up a bunch of those maps that they threw out, you know, and went with another map that, you know, displaced everybody, this and that. We worked on it 12 meetings over a few months period of time. They just completely got rid of this. This was Kathy Darling's office. Yep. And Joanne, and I can never pronounce her last name, French Sedeker or whatever it is. She was in charge of that, and she got an employee of the month the next month, which was kind of interesting because you usually get a raise with employee of the month, I think. And so they threw out all of the districts, and but we're and with no transparency at all, and we're supposed to trust her, right?
Well, that's what they say.
Yeah, that's what they keep telling us. You get unwashed masses. So going back to transparency, now you got into it with.
Right, and I'll describe the story. So what happened when we'll go backwards a little bit. When we did the recall,
mm-hmm.
we had all the signatures, and they put the signatures behind a locked door, and we said, oh, you know, would you accommodate us by adding an additional layer of security by just putting a piece of this security tape that has numbers on it, and if it's broken, the seal is broken, and we know that someone went in there without permission. And we just want to do it at the end of closing, so everybody will be out of the building. There won't be any reason to go in and out of the door, and we'll come back the next day.
Feeling confident.
And we will just let you take the tape off, and we're good.
Right.
So then, fast forward, we are at the recall election. At the end of the day, we asked Kathy Allen, Darling Allen, for the same accommodation she gave us before. She didn't like that. And we
all of a sudden it was a problem.
It was a problem, and so we went back and forth asking for an additional layer of security so everybody will see transparency and put faith back in the system, which eventually she accommodated reluctantly. But we put 5 pieces of tape at the end of day. No one should be coming in and out of there anyways. And we were back the next day to see that those seals were removed. So now we get to this election. We went to her and we said, hey, Kathy, you know, the last 2 times you accommodated this request is really awesome. We think you guys are doing a great job down here. But at the end of the night, when everybody leaves, we just like to put those seals back over the door. And then we'll come back in the morning and
feel comfortable.
And we just want an extra layer of security. I said, everybody, for whatever reason, some people just don't trust the system. Some people don't trust people. People are people. They do things. We just want an extra layer of security so that everybody can say we did the most we could to secure the election. And they did not accept. She just put up a fight about it, wanted to argue, called people children, all sorts of things that she was not willing to do.
It was okay last time, not okay this time. Last time, the vote that was sent in through the mail turned the election around. This time, it went their way. It makes you wonder. I mean, even if everything was actually true and correct and factual and fair, at this point, you know, you can't help but not trust them anymore.
Well, if you look at the video at that point where you're talking about, is her whole demeanor changed? I mean,
yeah,
she wasn't such a nice person anymore. The demeanor
changed
grammatically.
Well, the impression is always, we're in charge. Do what you're told and shut up. We have the authority. And that was the impression I got off of looking at that video.
Right.
It's like, I'll do whatever I want because I'm in charge.
So that to what we were asking for were these red sealed stickers. They're seals for the doors. She has them. They take 5 minutes to go on and off the doors. There was it was no inconvenience to her. We would all meet there in the morning so that everybody would observe those seals being broken. It was one extra added layer. It was not too much to ask. And yet she kept on saying over and over again, well, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
Well, she drew a line in the sand this time for some reason. And to explain the seals, that keeps anybody from going in and out of there at night, so there can't be any hanky-panky in the middle of the night. I don't know, kind of like Georgia and a few other things that we've observed, some of the cameras in the last election with the presidency.
Right, and we don't even have cameras. in the elections office.
I think that we should make a big move to get
cameras.
I thought
it was a law that they had to, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
Not in California.
Oh, probably not in California. But again, like we said in the beginning, the transparency or even putting that extra layer of protection, however security you want to, however you want to call it, she wouldn't do it. I mean, wouldn't you think, I mean, how much time could it possibly take? 5 minutes, if that?
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
I asked her how long it would take, and she did say, 5 minutes.
And but I'm not going to do it because I am me and I'm going to be a...
Well, you know, here's the thing. Stalin said, I don't care who votes. I care who counts the votes. And I think that's really what we're running into in our elections. Are most of these people Marxist and communists? I don't know if Kathy Allen Darling is, or Darling Allen, or however you say her name, is. I don't care. But when a news cafe, which we know are Marxists and socialists, are supporting her, then you have to start wondering, are these all people cut from the same... And it's coming out more and more with Joe Biden as well. So, I guess we have a caller.
Yeah, but we need to go to a break, so please hang on, Rich. We will get you on the other side of this break. You are listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Riverfront Playhouse presents Proof by David Auburn and directed by Samantha Fork, June 3rd through June 18th. Proof is the story of a young woman who has been spending the last few years caring for her brilliant but unstable father. Proof explores loss, love, genius, mental illness, fear, trust, relationships, and the breaking points we push each other to. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the store reading and at the door. Riverfront Playhouse presents Proof, June 3rd through June 18th. Sponsored by this station and other amazing sponsors.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
In the battle on the field, there is evil on the move. But I hope that you can feel that I will always fight for you.
In the darkness of the times, there's a light that shines the proof. It'll soon reveal the crime, so I won't stop this fight for you. Yes, I will always fight for you. I will brave every attack, and I will not give up on you. I will always have your back. So to every single mother, father.
Now I think you can hear me.
Now I can.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, that was my fault. I cut it short. Anyway, we're back. This is KCNR 1460, 96.5 FM, and we're talking about elections and election problems and election solutions, election anomalies, all kinds of election stuff after this last week. And we still got the main event coming in the, I don't know. I think this was the main event.
Yeah,
in
primaries
Shasta County.
Usually are.
Right. And most people don't know it.
Yeah.
That's
more
of the
important.
Problem.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem.
And with that, we will go to Rich. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Lot to talk about. We won't get it covered this week, maybe in the next week, of course. Of course, I was part of the election. I'm still part of the election integrity process, the citizen side of the House. So a few things that are pretty key here. We have approximately over 400 admitted socialists in this county. Whether they did any ballot harvesting is yet to be determined. There's a lot of issues. Man, there's so many issues. It's not funny. So the drop boxes throughout the county, those are optional by state law. And Kathy Darling Allen allowed those, even though the concerns of those drop boxes were brought to her numerous times by numerous people. She failed to use her discretion, knowing that eliminating those drop boxes would reduce fraud, would reduce the possibility of fraud. So that's strike one against Kathy. I've been attending the media briefings every day with her office. This surge of votes on election day and the day before, we're seeing an increase of that. Now, that could be two reasons. That could be the voters actually waiting until the last minute to vote, so they're fully informed, and that itself that's actually a good thing. But I don't know. It's certainly possible that the ballot stuffers maybe are changing their tactics a little bit, maybe changing when they're doing mass mailings or whatever. There is a team put together, as Patrick Jones alluded to earlier. There's a team assembled, we're going to be working on the full statistics of this current primary here in the county. We will be getting all of the documents related to this primary, and we will be going over those with a fine-tooth comb. Just as happened, in the Georgia election, and the Trump 2020 election, et cetera, et cetera. All the players in this team have the Navarro report, which forensically audited the Trump 2020 elections in the swing states. Very good report called the Navarro, N-A-V-A-R-R-O report. I suggest everybody reads that. So we already have a good template to follow as far as looking at election fraud, the many facets of the fraud, how it can happen, by whom, et cetera. So a good team of folks working on it. There's a lot of ideas. Patrick also alluded to, yes, we are going to be pushing for cameras inside the registrar's office. I mean, how many county offices have cameras inside now, right? So granted, that's an older building at the registrar, but we can have cameras put in there. And we should, and we probably will soon. We're going to push to actually eliminate the drop boxes in Shasta. The County Board of Supervisors absolutely have the authority to eliminate drop boxes in Shasta County. They do not need the registrar's permission to do that. Now, if the county does that, county board does that, of course, the state will then pass a law immediately to mandate drop boxes, and then that's a separate fight. But we have some remedies. We're contemplating now for short-term fixes. And even some long-term fixes. So it's such a mess. It is such a mess. But a lot of good, smart people are working on this. And, we're going to see where it shakes out. And then the election, the election laws, again, the state says they passed these election laws for the ease of voting, for the convenience of voting, when those very same laws actually open up the door for the fraud. And I mean, I'll give you just one example. So the ballot harvesting. If somebody delivers a ballot for somebody else, there's a place on the back of that envelope for the person delivering the ballot to fill out their information, which basically says, I so-and-so am delivering this ballot, but it's not my ballot. Well, the law says that if that information is blank, they're still to allow that ballot, and they're going to count that ballot. So why, I mean, I could go on and on with the laws that perpetuate this fraud, and all of you would be steaming mad if I went over even 10 of them. And the system is so rigged, it's 98% rigged against a fair election. And anyways, I'm willing to stay on the line if you guys have any specific questions, but there's just so much to talk about, it's not even funny.
I do have a question. Do we know who decides where the drop boxes get put?
Yes. State election law does cover so many drop boxes per registered voter. So state election law helps dictate that.
And then when you were in the elections office, did you observe any cameras anywhere?
I have not, but I also was not specifically looking for cameras, but... now, by the way, here's what's interesting, folks. So during the Modi recall election, I know we call it Modi because he was the one that was recalled, there were no government cameras outside of the registrar's building. And between the Modi recall and now, there have since been two government cameras installed outside the registrar's building, one in the alleyway and one right above the front two doors where the public enters from. So I find that kind of interesting. And I'm going to be records acting all of the footage of those cameras for this June primary. And let's see. Remember, Arthur, you're not aware of this, probably, Arthur. For the Modi recall, I did a records act with Kathy Darling Allen. I wanted every person that had access to the registrar's building, whether it be key card, does not matter. There are certain people that are authorized access, meaning they have a key or they have a key card.
Right.
I was not asking for who got access, who actually entered the building. I just wanted the list of who had access. The county refused me, citing safety of the personnel, the integrity of the election. Yeah, oh, I have the document, trust me. And they refused that. They said, no, you don't get to know who comes in and out of that building. Can you believe that?
Right, I can believe it. And when I asked Kathy about, you know, safety, security of the ballot, she said that the building was built as Montgomery Ward, so it was built as a department store where you brought, you know, furniture, clothing, or something in, and, you know, it has the big cargo bay in the back and an elevator that goes up front. So to add an additional layer of security, since you've been in the building, they could potentially just move all that election stuff upstairs to where they could have easy access for transportation of the ballots through the big cargo elevator and put everything behind a locked door. But the way they have it built right now is there's two access doors in the back where employees have to go. They go in and they go past all the ballots, and they're in there with the ballots unobserved. And then if they need to take a smoke break, they go out that same door. If they have to take a lunch break, they go out that same door. If they have to get something from their car, they need to grab something from the alleyway. There's just potential for things not to go well.
So it's not even secured from anything?
No.
Everything is directed where the ballots
and
are.
And when we were there, they said, oh, okay, well, when you swipe your badge in front of the keyless, you mm-hmm. know, door lock, we know who goes in and out. But we observed several...
Those are the doors that are upstairs.
No,
downstairs
too.
Oh, okay.
So what we observed is that other people were opening doors for one another. So if your hands were full, your buddy just swiped the door, which, you know, most of us would be like, oh, that's okay. But that says that... So I swiped the door.
So
my buddy goes
in. Yeah.
But they didn't record that my buddy went in. It recorded
right.
that I went in, so I could let whoever I want in. And Kathy herself did that up in the adjudication, and it wasn't anybody's fault. It's just the person had their arms full. They couldn't get to the door. Kathy just swiped them in, and they went in. So it recorded Kathy opened the door, but not the person. So there's, like, you know, just areas where there's could be improvement.
Right.
Not that they were trying to do anything wrong, but those type of things could lead to having some problems.
Oh, definitely some questions about way things are being handled.
An easier way is just to Everything on the bottom floor is where the lunch room, where the clock in, everything is done. Everything that has to do with adjudication, taking ballots out of the envelope, where the machines are, could all be put upstairs, and everything on the bottom floor could be easy access for employees to get in and out of the building.
So here's the thing. Okay, I'm reading this out of the Record Searchlight. Here's part of the problem too. Okay, the headline is Shasta County elections officials say observers tried to intimidate them during the vote count. And you read that and you go, really? So this is Joanna Francescott, assistant county clerk and register of voters, said some of the people who showed up Tuesday night were trying to intimidate election officials by telling them to seal off the room where the ballots are kept. Now, how does that intimidate anybody by asking that the ballots, where the ballots are kept, be sealed?
And they went so far as to call the police on us.
But the thing is, it's interesting, is Kathy Allen invited us into the elections office to give us education and show us that everything was secure. So we didn't ask to go in. She offered for everyone to go in, observe the process, and to be above board and transparent, and then we asked her a few questions which she didn't agree with,
and
then we went up. What they did was they only showcased maybe 17 minutes, but we were there for 6 hours. So they didn't highlight everybody observing the process. They just highlighted what people had questions about.
And a quick point, there were already two sheriff's deputies in the alleyway in the first floor area where all the observers were at. And we were, you know, coking and smoking with those very nice deputies. They never asked anybody to leave or that they were being too boisterous or anything.
No, they were cool. They were talking to us.
Well, yeah, but if there was a problem, I think they would have probably been obligated to address it at that point. And I watched the two RPD officers walk up, talk to the sheriff's deputy, and they're like, the RPD's like, everything looks pretty good here. I'm not sure why we were called. And then they left. I mean, it's just amazing. Amazing. And by the way, the camera's inside, getting access to the list of people who actually accessed the building would be nice. Although pretty sure they're not going to let us have that. It's just amazing how the lack of transparency at the local level that could have been given to us and was denied. It was denied to me. It was denied to you guys the night of the election. The lack of transparency, there should be so many bells and whistles going off right now.
Well, on top of that, so I went on Friday as well to be an observer. I signed in. I went through the process. You guys know me. I'm a kindergarten teacher. I'm not a violent person in any way, shape, or form. I was there for a very long time. At one point, Joanna offered me a sandwich. Everybody was cool. We were all just doing our jobs, you know, nose to the grindstone. Everybody was just really, really focused on, you know, the election and different things, and everybody was nice. And the very end of the night, about 4:30, Joanna came up and very snotty attitude let us know that pretty soon there was not going to be any observable activities and that we were going to have to just leave. Like, in the way she said it was so rude. And I was kind of taken back since the rest of our day was pretty pleasant. And I look over a little while later, and there's an RPD officer standing there. Kathy Allen Darling comes out of her office. She walks up to him and says, yeah, I called you because these two are here. And she points at me and Ronin and says, oh, these two are here, so I'm going to need an escort out to my car when I go to leave.
Wow.
And that's the point when I was only staying because – on election night, she gave us a printout that was the results that were going live online. So I wanted to see if I could get that paper. So I walked up to her. I asked for the paper very nicely. She said no, and I left because I don't know if she's trying to, like, paint me in a certain light or what she's trying to do. It was scary.
It's typical left-wing tactics is to over... amp on anything that makes you look bad, you know. It's like, you know, you have an argument with somebody, oh, they're violent, you know, because then they can sit there and say, you know, you're all screwed up and that type of thing. And they do it with everything.
Right.
You know, it's a setup to get you discredited.
Right. Oh, yeah. And even on the election night, we went in and we kept on asking Kathy while we were standing there, and she was describing, you know, oh, these are the security measures we have, mm-hmm. and we said, oh, are we in the way? Like, we don't want to be in the way of the workers because they're busy. And so we kept on stepping out of the way. And she said, no, you guys are good. We're just here, look at this. And so I'm really surprised that they said we were in the way when we kept on asking, is there someplace else that we could go? And they're like,
so
no,
we
you're good,
in their
you're
way
good.
And yeah. We were apologizing, and everybody was so nice to us. And then the next day we hear, oh, you had them in tears. You were so horrible, and you were in their way. And we were like, what? What's going on? These people were, like, joking and laughing with us. And, you know, we were there for hours and hours, and we were all just fine, other than a tiny snippet that people get to see online, which was where she calls me a five-year-old and is super rude to me. Everything else was pretty pleasant.
I want to read a little bit more out of this. And reading this tells me exactly why I never do interviews with any of these guys ever. Because they lie about everything. They twist everything. They slant everything.
They
you know, you can't get... They don't tell the story. They tell a story. And it's usually not a story that was truthful. So it says, I've been doing this job for the same way for 18 years. This is Kathy talking. And all of a sudden, things are different. That right there just tells, are you kidding me? I am a little bit flummoxed by it, but that's okay. So all of a sudden, you've been doing this, all of a sudden, everything's different. It couldn't have anything to do with this contentious presidential election where we've got videotape showing that these guys cheated, and geo-tracking and all this stuff. All of a sudden, it's just, oh, gee, I don't understand what's going on. We've been doing it the same way for 18 years. Well, all of a sudden, now people are questioning everything.
Accountability.
And
right, exactly.
Exactly. And now it's a problem because,
at
the end of the day.
How dare you ask questions of my office?
She says, at the end of the day, I'm the registrar. I'm an expert at doing these things, and we're doing it, complying with all laws and so forth. And it just gives you the picture of I'm in charge. You guys will do whatever we say. We're not used to being questioned, so shut up and do what you're told.
Yeah. Right. When it should be. I'm sorry, Rich. When it should be that. They would be happy that the people are getting involved and wanting to know the process and getting the information because that's the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
Not
kill more
attitude.
Flies with any.
Yeah.
So let me summarize and then I'll get out of here unless you have questions. But again, getting back to the state laws, which just encourage the fraud. And every time Kathy Darling Allen, has been on any radio interview whatsoever in person. And she's asked about these things. She's aware of the potential for the fraud following the state law, but her answer is always, I am following state law. And once again, I will repeat this. She has some discretion to reduce the possibility of the fraud, and she refuses to use that discretion. So that's a very key point we all need to keep in mind. But any questions, and then I'll get out of here.
Right. So she says she's been an expert for 18 years, but we haven't had mass mail-in voting for 18 years. We've only had it since 2018. So how is she an expert at mass mail-in ballots and all of the problems that could go along with it if we've only had it for 4 years?
And all the problems that is going on with it.
Well,
right now.
I think, she's refusing to really acknowledge the fact that it's possible we can have the fraud here in Shasta. I think there's something in her brain that just refuses to acknowledge that fact, or she does not want to address it, or a combination of either. Either way, she's not the right person for that job with the laws in the state that encourage that fraud.
Well, like I say, I'm still reading this article, and everything is painted in. Try to frame the picture that a bunch of anti-establishment right-wing militia nuts, they talk about the red, white, and blue, and Zapata is one of the founders, and, the supporters are all anti-establishment, and, but the way they're painting it, and then they put a trail, they had a trail cam up there, they're a bunch of nuts that are, that's the way they paint everything. Have you ever seen them write a bad article about the other side from the Record Search?
Well, getting back to the camera, they're all up in arms about a trail cam in the alleyway, but nobody's questioning the government cameras, again, very recently installed. Why is nobody complaining about the government cameras that are spying on you in that very same location?
Yeah.
And who gets to
view the video, yeah. Yeah, we're kidding.
Are they going to give the information on the video?
I'm going to Records Act those videos, and I will be very public as to what answer I get from that.
Thank you, Rich.
We appreciate that, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, well, I'm going to record Zach some other videos throughout the county. And, again, there's a team of folks working on this. And then there's just so much. It's not even funny. I'm sure we'll talk some more later, but next week we're going to have some more. Last item, I'm sorry. So the in-person voting on voting day, Mr. Jensen got approximately 63% of the in-person vote on election day. Yet the election night results, which did not, which also included any drop box or mail-ins prior to election day, Stephanie Bridget somehow has, what was it, 75% of the vote? Some ungodly number? Doesn't jive well with me. Anyways, I'll get out of here. I'm sure we'll talk some more about this. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for calling in, Rich. We appreciate it.
Brian Capel's numbers were very similar on Election Day as well. So that to me seems a little strange because, you know, you don't see that kind of discrepancy between people who put theirs in the ballot drop box. Because a lot of people showed up at the polls, realized it was going to take a few minutes, and then stuffed their ballot into the drop box. And those are now considered mail-in ballots.
And the interesting thing is they always say that conservatives vote in person are on election day. But on election day, that if you went to any other city, you'd say that, well, Shasta County is very conservative. So why is it that our mail-in ballots show the same percentages as if we were in a liberal city?
Yeah, isn't that kind of crazy?
Right.
Yeah, we're overwhelmingly, well, there's one of two things. Either we're not overwhelmingly conservative, or there's a bunch of people that say they're conservatives or register as conservatives that aren't conservatives, or they're lying about everything.
Right.
Yeah, but those survey apps that Arthur was talking about, you know, that we all use for elections and different things that have all that information and data about people, they're so spot on. When you go knock on a door that says it's a hard R, you know for sure you're going to be in there with a hard R.
Yeah.
So when you look at those apps, you know, they know everything about us. It's crazy how much they know about us. And it's accurate. So we know that we are definitely hard conservatives here in this county, and then we don't vote that way. And we vote for a Democrat for our elections after the 2020 election. That to me is
the whole thing is kind of smelly. I'm sorry, but it is.
Well, and I guess Heather Jensen, the wife of Eric Jensen, she's in this article as well, said that she asked Darling Allen if she could tape up the elections room as well, I guess, more than one person asked her, and which she said would follow the same procedures during the Modi recall. And she said she thought he had a good discussion with her. Darling Allen said she would not put security tape to seal off the room where the ballots were kept. So the seals are used for a variety of different things. They want us to seal the building shut, and I'm not going to do that. We have staff coming in. No one is going to touch any of the ballots, and no one's going to do any observable activities that come to the elections off tomorrow until after our staff meeting. Really?
Yeah.
You know, do you
How
believe
crazy
any of that?
Is
do you
that?
Trust any of that? I mean, I don't.
So we need to change the definition of observable activities, because to me, if there's live ballots sitting on a table, that's an observable, and you're in that room, that it's immediately observable.
If there's staff in a room with ballots,
if you're having
observable.
A staff meeting and there's live, unsleeved ballots sitting there, that's observable.
I just can't believe there would be any other activity in the room where the ballots are besides processing the ballots. I'm sorry.
It's just the way that building's built. That's the access the employees go through, so they have to pass through the ballots every time that they go in and out of the building.
Yeah, but there's got to be other rooms, or like you say,
They could.
Yeah, they could. That just doesn't seem a good thing to be doing. Why would you even introduce that idea?
Well, I'll tell you. One thing I've observed after observing a lot of the different anomalies in these last elections in the last 30 years is that there are people in power that will do anything to stay in power. That is obviously a fact. If you do any kind of study on anything, whether it's Georgia or Arizona, you take your pick. These people that get entrenched in power, that's why they're the establishment, will do anything to stay there, whether it's their pensions, whether it's the power. I don't care what it is. And I'm not saying every single one of them, But it only takes one or two of them to actually, make a big difference on how these elections are being fairly done.
That's right. Well, that's one question I have to do. Some of these people that are involved with the election, is it going to mess with their pension? Like Kathy Allen, Darlene Allen? She's got, 18 or whatever. Does that mean if you are out of office before you make 20 years, then something happens with you? Just a question.
100%.
In 20 years, are you going to step down and appoint your
assistant?
Yeah, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of factors that could go into that. I guess we're at the top of the hour. We've got more guests coming in. You guys are more than happy to, you can hang out too if you'd like. Please stay tuned for the second half. As Sol reminds, you've been listening to KCNR at 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Brand new rules make everyone a hero now. So keep your distance, no resistance, only do what you're allowed. Cash that check, go dance in the rec, but just don't speak your mind. Get your facts from the paid contracts, cause never will they...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Congressman Jim Jordan taking to Twitter to talk about troubles facing actual voters as Democrats obsess with January 6th.
The Ohio Republican takes a moment to list problems facing American voters. He tweeted, housing prices up 5.5%, grocery prices up 11.9%, gas prices up 48.7%, no end in sight. Jordan and many of his GOP colleagues in the House say that House Democrats are more focused on trying to keep former President Trump from running for office again rather than addressing the pressing problems facing the American people. He's calling on voters to stand up for themselves and demand that Congress address the real issues facing them on a day-to-day basis. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Speaking of gas prices, yep, they're up. In fact, the national average for a gallon of regular is over $5 for the first time since cars existed in this country. AAA says it's $5.01 today. Ukraine's president says his country's troops are defying expectations, stopping Russia from overtaking the East.
In his nightly video address, President Volodymyr Zelensky said he was proud of the Ukrainian defenders that are managing to hold off Russian troops in the eastern Donbass region. Do you remember how Russia hoped to capture the entire Donbass by early May? It's now the 108th day of the war. It's June already, and Donbass is still holding on. After failing to capture the capital Kyiv early on in the war, the Russians focused on capturing the parts of the Donbass region that was still under Ukrainian control. However, the move proved to be more challenging than expected and has turned into a long, laborious battle, thanks in part to the Ukrainian military's use of Western-supplied weapons. I'm Karen Chamas.
Big heat wave in the southwest. Phoenix, 114 degrees yesterday, and it's going to go higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Are you kidding me? Gas prices are up again? Somebody has to do something.
Well, someone did. That's why I use Upside.
Upside? What's that?
It's a free app that pays you back real money for every gallon of gas or diesel you buy. I just earned 25 cents back on every gallon of this tank.
Hold on. So the Upside app is free and you actually get cash back every time you use it? No strings attached?
Yep, it's awesome. Check it out. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up.
Instead of just watching your dollars go into your tank, start putting money back into your wallet with the free app from Upside. With the price of gas today, it's big news and big money. To cash out of your Upside cash, just transfer to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card. Upside users have already earned over $200 million. Now it's your turn. Download the free Upside app and start getting cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code SALEM for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back in your first fill-up. That's promo code SALEM. Remember, use promo code SALEM for an extra 25 cents per gallon back in your first fill-up.
Sri Lanka's prime minister says he's probably going to have to buy some Russian oil.
In a desperate hunt for fuel to keep his country running, Ranil Wickremesinghe says he may be compelled to buy more oil from Russia. The prime minister says he'd also be willing to accept more financial help from China, despite his country's mounting debt. And while he acknowledged that Sri Lanka's current predicament is, quote, of its own making, Wickremesinghe says the war in Ukraine is making it even worse and that dire food shortages could continue until 2024. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
3 months after McDonald's suspended operations in Russia, its famous former outlet on Moscow's Pushkin Square, as the restaurant reopened under a Russian owner and a new name. In March, McDonald's halted operations of its company-run restaurants in Russia in response to the Ukraine invasion. 2 months later, it decided to pull out altogether. The new restaurant is called simply Tasty. News and analysis at townhall.com. A federal appeals court has upheld the 8-year prison sentence given to an environmental activist who tried to sabotage the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Jessica Resnicek pleaded guilty in June of 2021 to a charge of conspiracy to damage an energy facility and for vandalizing construction sites on the pipeline in 2016 and 2017. Iowa U.S. District Judge Rebecca Goodname-Ebinger included a terrorism enhancement in her sentencing. The Des Moines Register reports Resnicek appealed the enhancement, but the appeals court found that any error was harmless in Ebinger's sentencing.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Today is Sunday, June the 12th, and we have a number of famous people celebrating a birthday today, including sportscaster Marv Albert. He is 81 years old. Actor Timothy Busfield, remember 30-something? Well, he's exactly 65. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Some of you eat all the lies you've been fed. Some of you just go along. Training, acceptance inside of your head to give them whatever they want. You're leaving your brothers and sisters behind. You're told it's the best thing to do. You're shutting out friends because you're told that's what's right. Now they win. Because all of us lose. And it's so sad watching these times as they change. And it's so
we're on, guys. There we go.
Now we are.
We're on, guys. All right. We're in the second hour of Sovereign Minds, and it's Sunday, June 12th. Man, the time is flying by so fast, it's ridiculous. And we have a couple of special guests in the studio. More special guests in the studio with us. We've got
John Knight.
And Bruce Anderson.
John Knight and Bruce Anderson. Give us a little background, each of you.
All right. Well, I'm a local business owner, local patriot, a father, a husband. And, I mean, I'm not really going to tell anymore because it's more important to tell the story of,
what's going on.
Yeah, what's going on.
Local business owner, got my kids and grandkids here in the community. And been married for over 40 years to the same woman. And we've been in the community since the 80s. Came up here first time in the late 70s. So.
I see.
Awesome. All right. So begin with you guys. Who wants to take the floor first? John?
Okay. Well, you guys, I guess maybe I can get into the night before. We were having a little get-together, and then I heard that they weren't going to seal up any ballots. They weren't going to seal up the room, and everything was totally unsecured. So me and my 9-year-old actually went down there, and I was trying to get inside, just wave somebody down. Hey, I want to come in. And, you know, I didn't know who was there. I guess author and what's author's wife's name?
Katie.
Yes. Great people. I didn't even know they were inside, but I knew there was a situation where things weren't going to be locked up properly. So I was concerned, and, nobody was letting me in, and then a gentleman came with flowers, and he opened up the door, and I went in with him, me and my 9-year-old, and he turned around and looked at me, and he goes, who are you? And I said, I'm John Knight. Who are you? And he goes, I don't got to tell you who I am. I'm not part of this election process. And he goes, and you got to get out of here right now. And I go, no. I go, well, if you're not part of this thing, then you get
Why
out.
Why are you in here?
Yeah, and he goes, I'm going to get the sheriffs. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. So he went and got the two sheriffs.
This was outside the building?
No, this was inside. I was inside.
You got inside.
Yeah, so when he went in, I just kind of followed him in when he opened the door.
But he had like a key card?
No, he called somebody inside, and they came and opened up the door for him.
Okay.
So I was kind of
okay.
being ignored, but then he was right. on gotcha. The ends. And he was bringing flowers to Kathy Darling, I believe, to celebrate because
how old was this?
How old
was this person? Do you think?
Oh, I'd say he was probably about in his mid-60s, possibly early 70s. About my father's age, he was 72, somewhere right in there. He had a bald head and dark hair; it wasn't all grayed out. And skinny, or, you
know. I
wonder
if that was her husband or something.
You know, I'm not sure, but this is what he told me. He said, he goes, Kathy Darling won, get over it. That's what he told
wow.
me. And he told me to get out. And I said, hey, man, I'm just here. I heard there was stuff being, you know, not secured. And
wow.
I'm just a concerned citizen. So the sheriffs, anyways, he said he's going to go get the sheriff. So he went and got him. They came back and kind of, they didn't escort me out, but they're kind of like, you know, like, hey, let's go talk outside in with their body language. So
right.
I just, you know, I kind of went outside with them and we talked and they're like, hey, what's your goal? I'm like, my goal is, you know, voter integrity. I'm hearing things aren't going to be secured and I'm just a concerned citizen. And by the time they got done, they started talking to me and one of the other deputies went inside and got one of the people and said, let this man in. And they gave me a, you know, my little
pass
sticker
whatever,
and my
yeah.
pass as an official observer or whatever. And the deputies were very nice. They were just coming in and you know, just, you know, though, I don't know how the guy went and told them, hey, get this guy out of here or whatever, but they talked to me and they're like, this guy's a reasonable guy. You need to let him in to be an observer. And somebody came and gave me my sticker. Then we went inside and, you know, there was, you know, a lot of people asking a lot of questions, mm-hmm. you know. You know, just asking how are you going to secure the ballots? Who is going to have access here? How are we going to make sure nothing's tampered with? And, we were met with a lot of frustration and I'm sure you guys talked a lot about that, in the previous,
a little bit. Yeah. We hit upon that a little bit.
Well, you know, and I was just met with a lot of frustration. Hey, you're not an expert at this. I'm an expert. Let the professionals do the job. This is my ship. I'm going to steer it. And that's was actually what Kathy was telling me. And I was saying, look, you know, if this was my ship and I was steering this boat, if I was the captain of this boat, I was like, everything would be secured. You know, there would be,
right.
you know, like there, she goes, well, there's motion detectors. And if anybody comes in, you know, the alarms will go off. And I'm like, well, what about the people that work here that have the key cards and everything?
Right.
Well, yeah, they can get in. Okay. Well, so why aren't we going to put tape on the door? Why are we going to have unsecured ballots? You know, and that was.
You have to trust us.
Yeah, just trust us. We're the professionals. And so anyways, there was a lot of that kind of stuff going on. But I think that you guys probably heard a lot about this kind of stuff. And I'm going to jump to the morning. So around 12:30 or so, I took my 9-year-old back home because he's 9.
When you say 12:30, we're talking nighttime.
12:30 p.m. Yes.
Thank you.
So 12:30 p.m. I left and then I came back to stay the night. Me and Sean Northam hit me up and he was like, "Hey, how are we gonna make sure nobody goes in there? This is totally unsecure." I go, "Well, if they won't let us put tape or seal anything or this and that, we're gonna have to go and stay the night." And he's like, "I'm down." And I sleep outside anyways. I have a king size bed on my back porch, so I was like, "Hey, I'll just sleep in the back of my truck. No big deal. A little more light pollution though." And then Wynn Carpenter showed up, and we ended up talking all night. So Sean watched the front. Me and Wynn Carpenter, we watched the back. And then Bruce came in the morning, I don't know, 6-ish or something like that?
Yeah,
or
right, a little bit before 6.
A little before 6, Bruce showed up. I went to go get some coffee, and then I came back. And at that point, it was just me and Bruce. Bruce was watching the back, and I was in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And right around 7:15, Bruce texted me and said, "Hey, someone just came in through the back." And I was like, okay, so I'm like, there's not much I can do other than I know that she ignored him, Did you say anything to her? Or she just kind of went in real quick and you didn't have a chance to?
She just kind of walked right in. And
what time is
that? Was about 7:15.
In the morning?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I have the text message. I believe it was 7:15 on the dot when he texted me. So that would be right there within a minute.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. And then I was getting ready to start making phone calls and say, hey, what are we going to do? Somebody's in there. There's no observers. You know, there's somebody in the building. All these ballots are unsecured, just sitting in the room. And that's when there was a guy out front that I was talking. Go ahead.
There was a county guy that showed up and parked his vehicle out in front, and that's when I walked around to the front to see him. And a city guy came up, which I thought he was messing with some cameras, but what he was doing is getting the lights to work correctly.
That is correct. I asked those guys what they were doing too, and they were just adjusting some lighting stuff. And I was like, hey, why are you messing with those cameras? Yeah. And they're like, these are lights. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll leave you alone then. But there was another guy who was an IT guy, and his name's Mike, and I have pictures of him and everything. And so while I was sitting there just guarding the front, you know, previous to the lady coming in through the back, this guy Mike showed up about 15 minutes before her, maybe around 7, and I sat there and talked to him for 15 minutes. Seemed like a nice guy.
Who was the lady that came in? Did you ever forget?
She had a cast on. I have a picture of her too, so I'll explain that here in just a second. So I just call her the cast lady because I don't have – but she's the same lady who shows up early every morning, I guess, is from what I understand.
That's her normal routine.
That's her normal routine, okay. Is from what
so nothing
Kathy
nefarious.
Told me. Okay. So – all right. So anyways, the cast lady showed up through the back, and I have a picture of her. And she came in, and after I've been talking to this guy, Mike, I was just asking him, oh, what do you do, this and that? And he's like, oh, I'm an IT guy. And then I was like, oh, well, what are you doing? You know, and he's like, oh, I'm just going to help clean up inside to make sure nobody trips over anything or this and that. That's what he told me. And I was just like, okay. And then the cast lady, about 2 minutes after coming in through the back, so this is probably maybe 7:17, she comes and opens the front door, lets the IT guy in. And I said, hey, excuse me, can I talk to you real quick? And she goes, no. And she shuts the door in my face. And at that problem, I'm calling people and saying, look, we got two people inside the building now. The lady just, like, shut the door in my face and was really rude, whatever. But now we got two people. And then a third lady showed up. Maybe. Within 5 minutes, we had three people now, two ladies and the IT guy inside the building. Nobody else inside, just them three. So I'm calling around and basically like, hey, what can I do? And, you know, so I call Kathy Darling. That was the only thing I could do. Somebody gave me her number and said, well, call her. And I called her up. I was like, hey, there's three people inside the building right now. And no observation. And I was like, is this legal? And she goes, look, we're not touching anything until 10:30. You guys are not allowed to observe until 10:30. Now, I just want to make it clear, I'm not with any campaigns, and I'm not making any claims, that I'm just telling my story. I just want to make that clear. Okay, so she tells me that there's not going to be any observation until 10:30, and not a ballot will be touched until that point. Okay, so...
But as he's saying, though, as these people are walking in and out, because after 7:30, they started kind of coming routinely, continuously. And at that point, every time they open the door, you can see all the ballot boxes are right there. These people are walking in and past, back and forth, past all these ballot boxes. So the minimum they should have done is at least had a sheriff there. I mean, to me, that would just make common sense to have somebody with some authority there, since they weren't going to let anybody from our side in. You know, and by that time, you know, there's 17, 18 people in the building.
Wow.
You know, and then they started coming, you know, in and out of the building. They'd go get some coffee, come back. They had some rental cars, what they got. So they're, you know, moving some cars around. They started bringing some equipment back from some of the other facilities, putting that back in. So it just kind of, everything's going on. Then Kathy shows up.
7:45, I'd say, right? Yeah. About 15 minutes before it's open to the public.
I might have been a little bit later than that.
Well, it had to be before 8, because this is still, the doors open at 8.
I think they opened the doors before she got there. I think they did.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I could be wrong on that. Yeah.
But there was a lot of activity going on, it sounds like. You got people going in and out. You got people that are bringing equipment
in.
Were
you in the front?
I went from the front to the back a couple times because the officer showed up. And so I kind of checked to kind of see what was going on in the front.
Well, maybe she came back out. I was there in the front. She was definitely there. In fact, I have it on my – I can tell you exactly when it was. And here, maybe after I tell my story, because I recorded the conversation with her, the one I'm talking about.
Okay.
And so it will be time-stamped on my phone.
Okay.
So I can give you an – in fact, let's just get down to the bottom of it right now.
Yeah, and she was real good when she came in. She went in for a while, and then she came back in. Arthur and I were questioning her on some stuff. She let us go through, and we took pictures and stuff of everything. She was showing that everything was still there. And we said, you know, it would make more sense if you guys had somebody with authority here overseeing this, since it's not in a locked room by itself.
And what'd she say?
Well, this is an old building. This is what I have to work with. Yeah.
You're right. It was at 8:04.
Okay.
So it was at – he is correct. It was a long night.
Sorry,
John. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we got the facts straight on that. Okay, so I was talking to Kathy. The doors were open. I hadn't gone in yet, and Carolyn was inside, actually. And that's why I hadn't been inside at that point, because I was outside talking to Kathy. And she said that we're not going to be able to observe anything until 10:30 and basically shut me down. And I didn't get anywhere with her. So I went inside, and Carolyn was in there, and she's like, there's people in there right now. And Bruce had seen there was people. We knew people were in the room with the ballots. And so I just asked the first lady I saw. I said, hey, is there people in the room with the ballots right now? And she goes, no. She goes, I can't answer that question. Let me go get somebody who can. And I go, this is a very simple question.
Really?
I go, can you tell me yes or no? And it's just a simple question. And she goes, and she ignored me. She left, and then she came and got Kathy. And I'm giving Kathy, I want in that room right now. There's people in the room right. I asked her, is there people in the room?
In the room?
She says, yes, there is, but nobody's touching any ballots.
So why are they in the room?
They, I guess they co-opt the room because there is other things going on. And so the reasoning was like, we do this, we do that. We don't have enough room. So that's why there was like six people in there. And I took, so finally I kind of bullied my way in there. I was like, there's no way that I'm going to let off of this. I need in that freaking room. And, I went in there, and there was, four ladies sitting at a table with, ballots on the table. In locked containers, though, I'm not even telling you that, but there were six different people in that room. I have pictures, time-stamped, everything. Okay, yes, and there was a bunch of stuff going on in the room with the ballots. And at this point, the ballots were sealed with little zip-tie things and stuff like that, but why would you not let people in the room, you know, without observers? Because if you wanted full transparency and people not to question, you know, anything, they would just be like, of course, no problem. Why wouldn't you just let somebody in there to just watch and, you know, why is there anybody, if there's going to be people in the room with the ballots, let somebody observe, let a couple people. You should have a liberal and a conservative both in there. You know what I mean? Or mm-hmm. somebody that represents both sides, you know, or more than that, you know, at a minimum, there should be somebody from both sides watching, you know. So, anyways, I mean, I went in there and I'm like, what the heck's going on here? And, I mean, I don't know.
That's pretty wild, that whole setup. And you mean to tell me they've been doing it that way for years, I take it?
There's no camera. There's no seal on the doors.
Yeah. And that's my understanding is, you know, she says she doesn't have enough room. She says she has no way to secure it. She says it's a lease building, so they can't do capital improvements to it without a major say-so from the county supervisors. And my thing is I don't know why there's not a sheriff there. I don't know why there isn't somebody from either side there.
I don't know why it wouldn't be just put some video cameras up.
That was my next comment. Yeah. I have no idea why there's no cameras in there.
Easy, cheap fix. It's not that.
Yeah, it's not that expensive.
A couple hundred bucks to get you some cameras in there, you know.
Very
so,
easily.
I think that should be pushed for at the next supervisor meeting, to get cameras in all these places and watching all these ballot boxes as well. you know, whatever we can do to secure the elections. You know, if it was a fair election, I'm okay with it. If it's not a fair election, I'm not okay with it, because it's just going to continue to happen. And to put any kind of safeguards in place that are going to make us feel comfortable that it's a fair election, I think is needs to be done. But you can't even, I mean, if anybody has watched 2,000 Mules, and I'm going to say it over and over again, do you trust any of these guys anymore?
Yeah.
Well, if we're not questioning it, especially under these kind of circumstances, we're not doing what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be good stewards of our community. And if we're not questioning and being involved in that process, then we're not doing our job.
Well, there's big money screening things. There's no question about it. You know, 2,000 Mules should be all over every place, okay?
Yes, it should. It should be on every news network.
It should be on every news network. So you come to the conclusion, and this might be why a lot of people don't want to face this thing, is that there's a big money takeover of a lot of our news outlets and so forth, so we're getting screened on the information that we're given. And it's always got a political slant. Now, you know, you go, so where does that kind of big money come from? You know, then you have to start asking yourself some questions, and those are hard questions, and people don't want to face those hard questions, because then all of a sudden, you know, their little world of security is not as secure as it used to be.
Well, I got one thing to say is it doesn't matter where you're at in the political spectrum. You should always be for full transparency and voter mm-hmm. integrity, because even if you are okay with someone cheating to get somebody in office that you want in office, once that faulty system is in place, then they can put any dictator they want in place. Right. So you might, in the short term, maybe it benefits you, but it doesn't matter what you believe in. Everybody should just want the truth and want...
Well, I mean, nobody,
everybody's going to pay the price.
Nobody's with any common sense can look at the election for president in 2020 and say that there was not something weird about the whole thing. You know, when you got Trump filling up stadiums and Biden doesn't fill up a room. You know, when you've got people, you know, that are so enthusiastic that we've seen parades, boat regattas, stadiums, all this stuff, and none of that on Biden. He doesn't come out of his basement, and he wins by the most votes in history.
Most popular ever.
President in the history of our country. If you think that there's not something amiss there, then you don't care. Okay?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It is our job to be involved in that whole process.
Well, what I'm saying is the left-wing guys will want to win at any cost. They will lie, cheat, steal, do whatever it takes to win, and then you're stupid for letting them get away with it. And that's their attitude. And if you don't like it, pound sand.
Well, I can kind of attest to some of that, because I put up a lot of the signs out there for a lot of the people, and I watched these signs just disappear on a continuous basis, and it was just very, very frustrating, because I don't know one person on our side who took down a sign that did not belong where it was.
Right.
You know, and I cannot understand that. That shows no integrity to me.
Well, they don't have any integrity, most of them. They want to win at any cost. And that's how this thing works. And so you can't, you know, the biggest problem in this country is the moral decay of people that don't believe that there's a right and wrong anymore, don't understand what a right and wrong is. And it's across the board. And all you have to do is look at, gee, is it okay to kill babies? And just go right down the line. And the moral decay is such that there's a certain segment of the population that doesn't give a crap about right and wrong.
Well, that's kind of like protecting, you know, five supervisors, but not protecting every school we have in the community. You know, you have three officers at supervisor meetings, you know, where you got five right. supervisors, but you have very few officers, if any, at any mm-hmm. of our
Well, if you don't think there's a concerted effort, I mean, it's like the whole gun battle thing. It's insane for everybody to disarm themselves. When all they have to do is harden up the schools. Oh, well, we don't want it to look like a prison, but you'd rather have it look like a army hospital in Vietnam. See, it makes no sense, except all they're really trying to do is disarm us. And
yeah, they don't care about the children or the situation at all.
So you go to the big money. And the big players, they have an agenda, and this agenda is not about a free constitutional America. This is about a government that has power over its citizenry period. And that's where we're headed if we don't put a stop to this. And so that's what we are seeing in these elections. Now, what I'm saying is that if we can't trust a free and fair election, then we can't trust much of anything on these people.
So I came up with an idea last night while I was laying in bed. And I know this stuff's on purpose, and I know it's not because people aren't smart enough to figure out how to have voter integrity. But
right.
Let's say there's 112,000 registered voters in Shasta County. It's right around there, right? 112,000.
I think so.
So yeah. And we're sending out these mail-in ballots, which obviously only people requesting absentee ballots should get one. I mean, I think that most people would probably agree on that. But let's just say working within the system that we have, let's just say there's no voter ID. Let's just say, okay, we're not going to be racist and demand a voter ID. Let's just say, okay, we're going to mail.
Oh, I guess we have to go to a break.
Oh, break time.
Yeah, in a couple minutes. Okay.
So I'll wrap this up. Okay. So, let's just say we don't change anything, but we send all the ballots out the way we are, these vote by mail ballots, and we number them 1 through 112,000, okay? Because you can go and see if you voted right now, but who did you vote for? You can't see that information.
Right.
So what I'm saying is what if you had a system generated random number attached to your ballot that only you knew? So when you're number 37, you can go on to the voter integrity.
Check out what
number.
And just go number 37. How did I vote? And you could also see how everybody else voted, but it's just a number. So it's not giving up anything, any privacy. Okay. Cause that would be the argument of doing it a different way. And that's all I'm saying. You'd be able to go, okay, yeah, my vote got counted and it voted for the people that I voted for.
With doing that, you couldn't, mass do harvesting or anything because you couldn't have two number 13s.
Correct.
You couldn't have two number 20. You know what I mean? It would cut down on that part.
I think there's all kinds of things that we can do, but I think the biggest problem right now is that conservative people have just wanted to be left alone, and now they are in a fight. They realize they're in their fight, and we got to get as dedicated to this fight as the left is dedicated to taking over.
And I think it's happened. Before we go to a break, I just want to, before we end all of this, is say thank you to everybody that is involved in this process, because there's lots of people out there. There's people behind the scenes, people in front of the scenes. I mean, it's taken the whole community of us to make this start to happen in our own county.
Well, it could be the shot that was heard around the world on Modi's recall, and I think that's the case, but that doesn't mean we're going to win every battle. We have to look at winning the war long term.
A lot of great people in here.
Yep, there is. And with that, if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I'm going to stand here and I'll fight for every word. I'm going to shout the truth until you know it's heard.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft.
Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
If I don't loot, if I don't steal, if I don't look for no free meals, if I ain't living with my folks at 35, if I don't blame it all on privilege, if pain is something I can live with, if my mama whooped my ass when I was out of line, it's 'cause I came from the old school, I remember all my roots. Ronald Reagan in the White House back when Caitlin went by Bruce. Every kid I knew went fishing summertime, the bass hit sooner. If I became a firecracker, it's 'cause I was raised by boomers.
I guess we're back on. Sorry, it's a little Buddy Brown there. Let's talk a little bit about these percentages on these, vote counts. I mean, that's, I think, the most disturbing thing to me at this point from everything that I understand, because when you count them, you know, through the machines, it's, you know, been, you know, let's say 60-40 in favor of the incumbents. Or let's say it's, you know, 50-50. Whatever it happened to be in each election. And then when you go to count the ones that are coming in the mail, they're overwhelmingly for the incumbents. Is that my understanding?
Yeah, so you got to look at kind of three separate areas of who voted and how they got counted. I mean, really you only have mail-in ballots or vote-by-mail ballots, actually. There's two, but it depends on when you turn it in and when it got counted. But really the only vote in person people that voted in person, the only way that actually counted as a vote in person was somebody that went in and surrendered their vote by mail ballot. You write surrender on
that's
it.
That's what we did.
You cross out the barcode.
I didn't know you had to cross out the barcode.
Yep, you're supposed to cross out the barcode with the Sharpie, and then you surrender that, and then you.
They don't help you with any of that either. They don't even tell you to cross out the surrender code.
They might not even really know because it was a new thing this year. Right. So, but anyways, as far as this year goes, there basically you either surrendered your ballot the day, on Tuesday, the day of voting, and then you filled out another one, and then you fed that into the machine, and all those numbers are tabulated at the location, and they are legally supposed to be up until the following day, until 8 o'clock, and anybody can go and look at those numbers. And then there is people that dropped off their vote-by-mail ballot, the one that got sent to your house or your P.O. box or whatever, and you take that in and drop it off in person on the day of voting.
Sure.
And then there was all... Well, I guess we still have some more coming
in. Well, they come in up to, 7 days after they're still counted?
Yeah.
I think they have till the 14th or 15th, I think. Don't mark my words on that, but I think so.
So the ballots that get dropped off in person that did not get surrendered, those are vote-by-mail ballots, okay? And then you have the previous set of vote-by-mail ballots that got dropped off or sent in the mail early. So they either got dropped off at a drop box or at the county clerk's office or mailed. And so the ones that got received early are the ones that got counted. And the vote in person, the people who surrendered the ballots and filled out a provisional ballot and fed that into the machine.
Shouldn't have been a provisional ballot, though.
Well, I think that's what they were calling them. But either way, whether I'm technically right or wrong, that's what they told me. I don't know if they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, see, that's baloney because they don't count the provisional ballots until, you know, and they have to is what it comes down to on the percentages.
Okay, so whatever.
Which means that a lot of the Patriots voted in person because they don't trust any of this stuff, so their votes are not being counted. Is that what I'm hearing?
No. The votes that you fed into the machine got counted that day.
Right.
Okay.
Right. That's my understanding.
Those numbers were what the tabulated results were on the receipt tape. That would
right.
be posted outside of each polling location. So this data was information that anybody had. Any of us peasants could go and get this information, collect it and tabulate the results, put it on a spreadsheet. Okay. So there was a lot of people, that noticed a lot of discrepancies because, so anyways, we just wanted to see how the numbers matched up because I was fairly confident myself that the ballots that got dropped off on the day, the vote by mail ballots that got dropped off the same day of the election should be very similar to the vote in person. It's basically
right.
people dropping their ballots off.
The percentages shouldn't change.
The percentages that much. Should have been very similar. So, when you look at the numbers that we tabulated going around and taking pictures of all of these tabulations, okay, and adding them up and
they don't say the
finding
same.
Percentages.
It looks different than what's being reported.
The incumbents were, I'm sorry, the challengers were winning extraordinarily. We're talking.
Yes.
You put it on a spreadsheet and you're like, okay, well, when they count the rest of these ballots that were dropped off in person on the day of the election, those numbers should be very similar because obviously we know that, you know, people more liberal are definitely going to vote early by mail. And then people who are more conservative are going to vote,
in person
on that day. And a lot of people didn't know the process. I was kind of shocked when they told me I had to surrender. I was like, I want to vote in person. I want it counted right now. And they're like, okay, well you have to.
Yeah. Let's go to our caller. And
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see what he
We've
has
got here. Tim on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
What you got?
I got a couple of questions.
Sure.
Number one, is there a security, protocol at the clerk's office for where all those people were gathered that day when the people observed them? Are they sharing space with somebody who's not employed at the clerk's office?
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows the answer to that.
Wow.
Well, the security
that kind
is
of
the,
blows me. That kind of shocks me that there's no security protocol there. I mean, they expect Kathy Darling to take care of any disruptions or stuff like that.
Yeah, it seems crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah, their securities are zip ties on this. On their,
yeah, the security.
Oh, I got
yeah,
you.
Bruce
on
is
the
saying
boxes.
The security is the zip ties on the boxes, but I don't think the facility is secure at all from anything.
They did not want to put the zip ties on. They didn't want to put seals on anything. Author was in there till I don't know, maybe 2 o'clock or something like that, just trying to get them to do any kind of security measure. Basically what I was in there asking for protocols that night. I'm saying, what's the protocol for this? What's the protocol for that? And the answer was just let the professionals handle this. We know what we're doing. You don't understand the process. So quit making our job difficult. And when I really started pressing on security, they said, well, there's motion detectors. So, cause I said, okay, once everybody leaves here, without sealing putting any seals on the doors.
How do we know somebody doesn't walk right in with a ballot box?
Yeah, and she goes, well, the motion detector will go off.
Except if you've got a key.
Yeah, and I said, what about the people who have key cards? Well, yeah, they can come in, but it keeps track of them. But we all know that kind of stuff can be manipulated. So basically, it's just trust us. We're the experts, and don't worry about protocol.
So when Kathy showed up later that morning, she walked those guys through the front, through everything, and then after that she came back, talked to Arthur and I, and then let us come through and see everything and see that everything's secure and whatever else. And we kind of asked, you know, why isn't this in a completely locked room? Why is this not separate? Why don't you have a sheriff or somebody here overseeing everything?
Yeah, that's my question, too.
You know,
yeah.
And she says, well, we have a bathroom back here, so we can't, you know, we have no way to lock this facilities down because then there's no access to the bathroom. And then they have, I think they had a coffee machine back there and some other stuff.
Wow.
You know, so it's just, it was just a big open room attached to the other room. There's three or four different accesses to that room, you know, from the rest of the building. So
have you got another question,
Tim? Well, as a voter, I like to comment, that's pretty lame, you know. That is really lame, you know, they'd be sharing space because of coffee or something of that nature and not have all the personnel that are in that building secured, you know, with references and so forth and so on, even if they're not employed by the clerk's office.
No, they're all employees of the clerk's office. They didn't have any other employees in there of other businesses or anything of that sort.
Okay. But the individuals who weren't part of the, what do you call it, the vote counting or the ballot counting, were sitting in there with the ballots, zip ties or not, they're sitting in the same room, and they're not the people that are going to be doing that, correct?
Correct. That is correct, yes.
So there's no protocol then. It's basically,
it seemed kind of like we just do things on the fly because the building isn't really made for this.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how hard would it be to put some I guess you got the bathroom argument, but, I mean, when you're talking about the most sacred thing you could do is vote. I mean, you can't put some tape on the door. We can't put a – how is there not one camera up – in the room, you know, it's just to
put a porta potty out on the freaking veranda or something.
I have more security measures to make sure my weed whacker isn't stolen.
Do you have anything else for us, Tim?
No, I don't. I was just real curious about those two elements, you know, the people in there that really are not part of the process and the security protocol. It just seems absurd at this stages of the game. With the voting inconsistencies, to say the least, throughout the last national election and everything else, that there would not be more, at least one law enforcement person in the building to keep an eye on things or something.
You would think.
All right.
Well, thanks for calling. So then that makes
okay.
me question other things. If they don't have any cameras, or when they get ready to print ballots and they put the ballots together. There's nothing for the whole process.
To print an extra 10,000 ballots, yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, that doesn't make you feel real warm and cozy. So it's not just the counting of the ballots that come in. It's the process prior to that. There's no oversight at all.
And where they get sent to.
Well, I heard that some of them go through Sacramento, and I heard... Now that they try to keep them local. I don't know.
The problem is we don't know. That's the whole thing. We don't know what they're doing with them.
But I do know personally that the ballots do sit on the floor at the United States Post Office on Churn Creek with no security or anything. That I know for sure.
Yeah, it's ripe for to have a problem with some kind of a fraud.
Well, I believe in voter ID and, you know, prove who you are.
Kathy
I
Darby,
agree.
Anyway. She doesn't.
I know.
Yeah,
I
she know doesn't. That. We had her on the program. We asked her. She wouldn't even commit to that.
Yeah.
So it just tells you. It's smiling faces, you know, sometime, you know, the old, what's that song?
Oh, smiling faces.
Well,
right.
I put my ballot in up at the clerk's office. So... We voted a couple days ahead of time, put it up at the clerk's office. We didn't get a provisional or anything. We were able to run our ballot through. So one of my big questions is why at all the polling places, everybody had to surrender their ballot and get a provisional to run it through? Makes no sense to me because I thought they were supposedly all the same machines.
Yeah, that's what
you know, I thought
I was going to take in and run my ballot through.
Yeah.
But they had to give me another ballot.
So why did I get to
run
mine through?
You were a little shocked, too.
I was a little shocked, too.
Me
I thought
too.
I was going to run the same ballot through.
Yeah, because I even asked. They said, why do I have to give up this ballot? And she says, because you have to if you want to.
So I think what they did was they ran them all as provisionals then,
yeah,
I think.
I think you're right.
Her excuse to me was because of the way they have to run it through the machine. It wouldn't run through properly. And the ballot that I got, or provisional ballot, was to be ran in backwards. So it wouldn't get caught in the machine because of the way it tears off of the pad. That's what she told me.
If it was the same machine I used upstairs, there should be no reason why you guys had to get provisional ballot.
I totally agree with you.
That's a good question.
And Dominion voting machines are trustworthy, right?
And they're always complaining the money it costs. How much does it cost to print more ballots like that we have to give this one up? This perfectly good to get this one over here.
Why didn't they just print the right ballots in the first place?
Good question.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
Statistically, looking at trends and there's always a margin for error, but
right.
Why is it that all the ballots counted from the ROV, were the exact opposite of the tabulated results that we, the citizens, the peasants, went and collected ourselves and put on a simple spread. These are just simple. It's not rocket science.
Yeah. Why is it
the exact opposite? And it's just like everything that the numbers that we couldn't see are the exact opposite of
the numbers that you could see.
And it's just, and there's no way that the people that went and dropped off their ballots the same day of voting would be the exact opposite of the trends you've seen from the people
I read the story earlier, and it's from DeKalb County in Georgia, where they were using Dominion voting machines. It was a race for the supervisor, I believe it was, or whatever position it was elected. There were three people in the race, okay? When they ran all the votes, the one lady was under the margin that she
was
could,
like in third place.
She was in third place out of the three. Two get to move on for the runoff. Well, she went through the voter registration things and the ballots and so forth, and there was zero votes for her in her own district. And she said, "Well, wait a minute. I live in my district. I voted for myself. I want to do a recount."
And so did my husband.
So did her husband. They did a recount, and it was a $2,800 or a 2,800 vote difference. And she actually then stepped into the ability to get to the runoff, and the other guy was kicked out. So that was a Dominion voting machine. You can look it up. I read the article, World Tribune, DeKalb, Georgia, and they had to recertify the election because they found out it was fraud. Those are the Dominion voting machines. It's really funny how they've got their heart sets on these Dominion voting machines here, not to mention all the other anomalies that we've talked about as well. So can they just about do whatever they want with these machines? I'm thinking maybe so, because the hand count was completely different than the machine count.
Right.
So I have a POS system at my business, and things come up missing. You know, it happens when you have thousands of different products.
Right.
People do a count wrong, maybe on inventory or this and that.
Push the wrong button.
I'm not very technologically inclined at all, but I can go in my POS system and tell it to say whatever I want. I can say, there's not 12 of this, there's 8 of it. I do it all the time because when we do a real count to see what we really have, or somebody rang something up wrong, or maybe we rang up this thing and not this thing, and but you could just get in there and change it to whatever you want.
I think we need to demand a recount, a hand recount on a lot of these things here, because just reading that one article just makes me completely not trust it. I mean, with everything else, I mean, that's pretty easy to verify. I just pulled an article out and looked at it, World Tribune. I mean, that would be easy to verify as far as the validity and truth of that, but nothing applies here in our county. Shut up. We're the professionals. Go back to work and we'll do it our way because we're the experts.
And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Hey, one thing, FYI, any citizen in California may have observed the election process from the voting all the way through ballot processing. So that's you don't have to be a member of any organization, just any citizen may. And it's on the back cover of your voter guide if you still have it around.
I do.
The Voting Rights Act. So secondarily, when you come into the precinct poll with your vote by mail ballot and envelope, and they used to allow you to vote that vote-by-mail ballot directly into the voting machine. Mm-hmm. Then they became made aware of the fact that, election code says that you shall surrender your vote by mail ballot and be issued a precinct ballot.
Precinct
and you will
ballot.
Take your vote by mail ballot and you go over to the voting booth and you'll mark it onto the precinct ballot and then surrender your ballot, your vote by mail ballot to the clerks at the desk and then go vote your precinct ballot directly in the machine. That's the way it's supposed to work in Shasta County now. We don't have any way, any direct way to go from the polls directly into the registrar's office to verify that your vote by mail ballot has not already been counted. That's our problem, one problem we have. Another problem we have with that is training was outrageously flawed in the county again. We had people out there, they were giving them provisional ballots. They're surrendering their ballot and giving them a provisional ballot. Or they were allowing them to vote their vote by mail ballot in polls. The training was atrocious this election, from what I'm hearing. These are things that I can't fix, you can't fix. The only person that can do that is, oh yeah, the leadership can fix it, and she has no interest in it. It's just really sad to see.
What's the difference between a provisional ballot and a precinct ballot?
Precinct ballots are allowing you, what you've done is you've surrendered your vote by mail ballot and envelope, and you've signed the roster at that point, and they'll allow to take that from you, and they'll mark your vote-by-mail ballot at that point as already been voted at that point, and then they will give you a precinct ballot, and that precinct ballot allows you to vote it directly into the machine yourself at the poll.
Okay, so here's a question. Now, Linda, my wife, had said something about we need to write surrendered across the top of that, and
yeah.
I was like, well, good call. I didn't know that. I wouldn't have done it. Okay.
How many
ballots that got turned in didn't get that written on them that were just handed over? Now you've got all of these ballots that are mail-in floating free. Mm-hmm. I mean that's not a reason. That's not a way to cheat, is it? If you got hundreds of thousands of ballots or thousands and thousands of ballots that are turned in, and how many people wrote surrender across the top?
Well, or ran something through the barcode.
They're supposed to write surrender diagonally across the front and the back of the envelopes and the ballots themselves, and then the barcode at the top of the ballot, you're supposed to mark that out.
Well,
no,
nope,
they didn't do that.
They didn't do any of that.
Nope, didn't do any of that in Cottonwood.
This all goes back to lack of training. Nobody trains these people. They get 2.5 hours to become a genius poll worker, and they've never done it before. That's totally inadequate. So what happens with that now? You've got some people that did it, some people did not do it. And so now you've got a mess, and just like you said, Mark, you've got live ballots that were turned in to the poll that are all marked. They're ready to go be counted, but nobody did anything about it. That's the poll worker's responsibility to say, mark, surrender, across the front and back. Take it in there.
They never said a word, and I wouldn't have done it had Linda not brought it up.
Yeah, see, my wife went through their poll training, and she ended up going as an advisor. Because the poll training was supposed to be 2.5 hours, which was a little over 4 hours, which she went to.
Good.
And
okay.
She, after she got done with it, and she's fairly intelligent person, very intelligent person before I get in trouble.
There's a lot of people listening here.
And in that situation, what she told me is this should have been a minimum 2-day class. Minimum.
Amen. Amen. And they should be paid for it.
Correct.
Nobody works for free in this world, and you're asking me to do something, a 15-hour day for $100 plus training? Huh? What?
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Well, here's another thing with that turning in your ballot. How many people actually mark their ballot before they get there? I'll be honest, I didn't.
No.
I don't mark my ballot before I get there
All I did was take a little pencil and put an X next to the person I was going to mark.
Right, but you didn't
circle. No, exactly, because I wanted to wait till I got there.
Exactly,
to do it.
Me
but
too.
But I had it marked, so I knew what it was, but it was just a light pencil mark.
Yeah, so how many of those ballots, if they didn't write surrender, were open territory?
Yeah, they didn't, and I wouldn't have if it hadn't been suggested to me. I had no idea.
Well,
I had no idea I was going to surrender in the first
place.
I thought that I was going to use that ballot to vote.
Yep, me too.
Well, this again it should be out here in front of the public and letting people understand. Now, I got it inside the voter guide again. It tells you there's three ways to vote: vote in person, and then vote by mail or the drop boxes. Well, then it doesn't go into detail what vote in person means.
Well, Well,
drop it in a box.
Well, and then if what we're saying is true, that the tapes on the precincts that showed the votes as they were being tabulated are a lot different than the votes that are being counted at the county clerk's or the Kathy Allen Darling's office, how can that be? How can you have them being different from here to there?
And I'm sorry, I don't want to pick on the people at the polls, and maybe they didn't know. But they shouldn't be in that position to take your ballot if they don't know the process. That is back on the ROV. I'm sorry, they're not doing their training properly, like you say, Bob, or whatever.
Well,
but if they can't do their job, they shouldn't be sitting there handling the ballots. I'm sorry.
We're just about out of time, so we want to thank everybody. Thanks for calling in, Bob. And we want to thank everybody here, Bruce and John, for coming in and relaying this message to us.
I don't think it's over. I think we're going to have more information.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more coming. And,
yeah.
You know, I have to say, here's a headline. Largest pork company in the U.S. Shuts down in California plant due to high cost. You know, we got inflation coming. We've got all kinds of stuff coming. You need to get yourself ready for a long period of time where there might be food shortages and be able to take care of yourself without having to depend on anybody. And I'm just saying that as a word to the wise. If this never happens, then, hey, no problem. You're in good shape. But if it happens the way I think it's happening and this inflation factor, this could just destruct our economy. And we're already getting reports from every place on truckers. You know, a guy up in Idaho wrote a letter saying that $1,700 a day, a tank just to fill up his truck. Do you think that's going to affect food prices? They're telling us that it's not going to be a long-term 10-year inflation factor. Yellen last week. Do you believe anything she says? Everything she's ever said is wrong. So,
well, we're at the end of the time. Thank you guys again for coming in. Love to have you back
and
giving us more information.
Thanks for having us. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence. It is force. Force like fire is a dangerous servant and fearful master.
And you've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.